serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
The Sammy K Orchestra and Remember Pearl Harbor. In a bit, we'll talk to 100-year-old Mickey Gannich about the time 2 years ago when he sang part of that a cappella in the White House on national TV. Just one of countless appearances Mickey has made over the years in an effort to keep the legacy of Pearl Harbor alive and to honor his fellow veterans.
Well, and I know you've given so many talks, more than you can count. How long have you been doing that, and how long are you going to keep doing it?
I'm too long, so I'm able to get around at all. When I can't drive by myself, I'll get the wife or someone to drive me there. I'll get there. I get a kick out of some of these times, and I set up an appointment there for a speaking engagement. I said, what time can we pick you up? And I said, for what? So you can get there. I said, I got my own car. You drive your own car? Sure, I'll drive my own car. In fact, I just renewed my driver's license for 5 years. But I would estimate I've been doing the last 12, 15 years. I don't know how many times. In fact, I got all kinds of certificates and plaques and stuff at home. And there's some challenge coins. Some of these places where I have speaking engagement, they have a challenge coins that they give me there. But I don't even know how long I've been giving talks.
Well, and I'm just looking around your office here, and I see a picture of you in the state capitol of California. There's a picture of Pearl Harbor in the Arizona Memorial. I've seen you on TV at the Giants games and the Oakland Raiders games.
And about a year now, let's see, it's December 17th, the White House there.
Yeah.
President Trump was signing the proclamation for December 7th being Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, and I sang Remember Pearl Harbor over national TV right alongside of him.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. So you're there in the White House with the president.
Yeah.
What made you decide to sing?
Well, we had it arranged there. The Greatest Generation Foundation, Denver, Colorado, we were talking about it there because I've sang before different schools and all that there. And he says, after he put me right alongside of the president, and the others are strung out this way. And he says, when he gets through with that there, you sing Remember Pearl Harbor. So when he got through signing that and everything was done there, and I was saying Remember Pearl Harbor there, and he was about to stop me from doing it, so I went through the whole thing over national TV. That made me feel pretty good.
Yeah.
We had an arranger that was going to do it.
Well, and that's something for people today, maybe they've never heard it before, but in the months and years after Pearl Harbor, I'm sure you guys would hear that every once in a while, right?
Yeah.
That was a pretty powerful thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to sing it right now, do you?
Why not?
I'm not stopping you.
Remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Just remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We shall always remember how they died for liberty. Just remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Mm-hmm. Well done. How did the president react when you did that right next to him?
A little surprised. Then I got down to 3-point stand, told him I'm ready for that football game, which we didn't play. He looked at me and he said, I wouldn't play football against you. Yes, he told me. Then he gave me his challenge coin. I didn't bring it with me today. He gave me his challenge coin. Things about that thick there.
Well,
he got his name on it 3 different places.
Well, and I've got to ask you. Because you just shared that your wife's a Republican and you're a Democrat.
Yeah.
And that doesn't keep the two of you apart.
That's right.
And here we all are in a very polarized time in our country. where the Democrats and Republicans are in a pretty severe fight involving the president right now, but that didn't seem to keep you from enjoying his company.
That's right. That's right. They said, how can you even associate with those people? They were enemies. I said, to me, it's like a game. You're on the field during the daytime. That evening, you went out to supper together. They said, you shouldn't even associate with them. I said, the wife who drives a Japanese car, so what? The war is over. You can't change what happened. Think about the future. We're good friends now. That's the way we feel. In fact, two different times they chased me down the street. I've been to Japan many times there since the war's over. Mm-hmm. Two different times they chased me down the street there. I left my wallet in the store. I got my money back in my wallet. This country, maybe you'd get your wallet back, you wouldn't get your money. I found out they're honest there. They're friends now. Forget, you can't change what happened before. Think about what we're going to do for the future.
Amen. And hearing you sing Remember Pearl Harbor, just like the Sammy K Orchestra, you got it just about right where they were. The question that pops into my mind is, why and what? Why is it so important to remember Pearl Harbor? What is it that we need to know all these years later?
Keep America alert there. This is better. We must be doing something right, because all these different countries trying to get to this country to live, so we must be doing something better than they have at their countries. So think about what we can do together. We need each other. This is not a one-man war or one-person war or something like that. You got to have other countries that are friendly. You can't be enemies of everybody. You can't rule the world. It seems like we're the world's keeper at times there. But we're putting a lot of our people in danger, like Vietnam. We got all kinds of people got their lives messed up there because we're a world's keeper. But we can't teach all the countries to have the same religion, same beliefs, same everything. It'd be a dull world if everybody was alike, dressed alike, everything. It'd be just a bunch of robots. But we got to look out for ourselves, too, and take care of our own veterans. We got a lot of homeless veterans there that are living on the streets there, and a lot of people going hungry there. And then we got to help others. We can help others, but we still got to take care of our own people, too.
Well, I know you do everything you can along those lines, and I don't want to leave out anything that's important to you, but I also don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for continuing to serve your fellow veterans and so many others. I can't finish without asking you, though, what's your secret? Because here you are, 100 years old, and you're still going at this kind of pace. Yeah. How is that possible?
Keep breathing. Don't die.
You haven't stopped yet,
No, because the alternative isn't so good.
I just have a feeling that for a lot of these years, you've probably looked forward to your 100th birthday and wondered what that was going to be like. And now you just had that a few weeks ago. Yeah. What was it like?
I don't feel any older.
But you had a pretty big shebang for that?
Oh, yeah, with 400 people there. And my own relatives there, some of the relatives I've never met before because they're descendants of cousins and brothers and sisters there. So I've had a chance to meet a lot of people I haven't met of my own relatives, plus all the, because right now, the only thing I'm doing right now, I'm chaplain in the Fleet Reserve, I'm chaplain in American Legion, I'm chaplain in Veteran Fort Wars, I'm chaplain in the Masons, I'm adjutant for this disabled American veterans. I've been the head usher of my church, I think it's 55 years there, something like that, 54, 55 years. And then I'm a volunteer at the VA clinic, taking veterans to their appointments and whatnot, whatever I can do for them, because I was helped so many times while I was in the service. So I learned there that you help each other and they help you. So that's why I dedicated myself to get in these organizations, be a part. I didn't want to be just a card-carrying member. I want to be a part of them. If I'm going to be in it, I want to be a part of them. That's why I get active in there. Commander of this chapter there for quite a few years there, and I was a treasurer, and then the chaplain there, and everything else there. But I wanted to help the veterans, because they helped me, and I want to do my part to help them. I figure that's part of God's plan.
It's hard to argue with that. I guess my last question is, after 100 years and all the things you just talked about that you've done, that you've contributed, that you've experienced, is there anything you haven't done yet that you're still hoping to do or accomplish?
I can't think of anything right offhand because of course, I'd like to be a little richer than I am. No, but I've accomplished. I think I've been successful in whatever I tried. White says, you ought to travel. I said, I traveled. And I've been to Australia. I've been in China. I've been to Alaska there. And last year, I went to Normandy there. And I've been to England. And I've been to Nova Scotia. And I've been practically any place. So really, the only thing that I haven't accomplished there, in 1991, wife and I planned to go to Yugoslavia, where my folks are from. And about that time, then, after just about ready to make arrangements, they started having all kinds of problems over there. So we didn't go. That's about the only thing that I wanted to do that I never accomplished.
Well, there's still time. Maybe that's next for you?
It could be. But I don't have any relatives over there, at least not that I know of.
Well, I know you have friends everywhere.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing I should address with you is, because you do this so often, because you talk about this, because you tell the story, and you know that 2,400 died on December 7th and 406,000 died in World War II, how should those people be remembered? What is their significance all these years later?
Well, I figure by helping other veterans.
That's your tribute to them?
Yes. That's why I got involved in all this, because I figured that would be meaningful to them to know that I'm helping ones that are still with us.
I know there's three guys left still from the Arizona. You think you could get that football game after all?
Yeah, maybe we'll play that game. Got to be ready for that game. We didn't cancel the game. We just postponed it. We had a war to fight.
Is there anything else I didn't ask you about that you wanted to say?
No, I told you some of my scary moments.
Yeah. And you never got yourself in any trouble, huh?
No. Oh, I've been in trouble, but nothing serious.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't get caught.
Fair enough.
People say, thank you for your service. We never figured out the comeback, what it's about. What to say to sometimes I'd say thank you, but that doesn't matter. They're thanking me, and I'm thanking them, and that doesn't work out. So whenever they say thank you for service, it's going to say you were worth it.
Mm.
You were worth it.
I just realized I forgot to ask you about December 7th, 2019. You were back there at Pearl Harbor 78 years after that Japanese bomb came whizzing past your perch in the crow's nest of the USS Pennsylvania. I love that photo of you in a three-point stance next to our friend Donnie Edwards, the former All-Pro linebacker who's blessed so many World War II veterans through his Best Defense Foundation. But I want to know what that experience was like for you. I know there weren't too many of you Pearl Harbor survivors there. What was it like this time?
Well, went to a lot of places and talked to a lot of people, and I had a chance to talk to several school classes while I was there also. And so that made me feel good that I was able to do that there, because the kids, especially the kids there, that they're listening. That's my reward. They're listening to what you said. They're not sleeping or looking out the window or something. They're paying attention. That's my reward. That's what I get back for them. If I get convert one person to be accountable for the action, I fear I'm doing something there, because I think that's the biggest problem we have with the kids nowadays. That's why I like to talk to schools. I've talked to schools, kindergarten there, grade school, middle school, high schools, and colleges there. I've talked to all of them. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I've talked to as many as 10 people, and I've talked to as much as 900 people one time. Try to say that I have no animosity there. You can't change what happened. All we can think about are the future and the friends that we have for the future.
Well, I'm sure thankful to be able to call you a friend now, and I'm looking forward to the future because I know you're not slowing down. Mickey Ganich, 100 years old. What an inspiration. Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes today and all throughout 2019. We're already working on bringing you the stories of many more remarkable veterans in 2020. So Happy New Year. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.